Tesla.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Walking for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Oh, tonight's going to be a humdinger. I'm going to tackle something tonight that I've been wanting to study for a long time. And I'll share it with you. The study of Enoch. So much controversy about Enoch. Goodness gracious. Enoch, Book of Enoch, which is not written by Enoch in the first place. That's another story. And the translation of Enoch and Elijah is another controversial issue. Well, I can pick them, can't I? I'm going to start with that tonight, and I do not see getting through it all tonight entirely. There'll be questions, probably more questions than anything else, after I get through tonight with Enoch. There are two Enochs in the Bible. Now, before I get started, yes, I want to dedicate the program because I'm really going to get started tonight. This is a complicated subject. And it breaches into quite a bit of other subjects as well. Quickening, translation of a body. And certainly, you got translations of words. Completely different subject. But translation and its concept, pretty close the same. Enoch was an interesting character. As was Methuselah. Melchizedek is another one. Very much so. So I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to get started right quick-like. Now, I did remind you all, that I won't be online. I won't be live broadcasting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm never live on Saturday, Sunday anyway. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I will not be live. It'll be the 24-hour loop that I always have. And I'm hoping by the end of the month, I said this for quite a while, but I'm hoping by the end of the month I'll get my application, my app, as they call it, for those Android things. And that way it'll increase the audience, because some people don't have a computer. So I found out about this Apple app thing, whatever. So you make up a something, you know, diagram or whatever, and you send the app to Apple or something like that. Yeah, iTunes. Ah, it's convoluted. But anyway, I'll figure it out. And so you get an app, so they download the app, and they can follow it with their Android thing that they have, even though they don't have a computer. Computer can't do that. But their little Android doohickey thing, whatever it is, can do it. So I'm going to get that doohickey thing, and that will increase the audience that don't have computers, etc. Yeah, modernize my system of delivery. Let's dedicate this broadcast before I dig my hole deeper in my expert technological advances here. hardly. But in any case, I do want to increase the audience. Things are coming. I don't know. It's moving fast. You all know that already. And they're up to something. Hard to say what it is, but I'm sure we'll be the first to know if you're on this earth. Because they're getting ready to move to another stage of some kind. The Illuminati. The secret societies, etc. Satan's got them working overtime. So we'll see what little surprise they got. Remind you all that we have our broadcast and Bible studies are played at highportradio.net, highportradio.net. And John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, he's gracious enough to play my broadcast and my Bible studies. He has sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And if any of y'all have a use for those sponsors, you can look up his website, highportradio.net, locate the sponsors, and use them if they fit your needs. And give him a hand up there in increasing his output and his network. And for me, it just plays my broadcast and Bible studies randomly. Now, I appreciate that. My website, watchmanforjesus.com, and I use it mainly for studies that I just summarily put down and informally, and there you go. Scrutinize everything I put there, though. Nobody has all the answers, by no stretch. And I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, that I keep up with. With that being said, let's dive into Enoch. Lord, thank you tonight, Father, for the Bible studies we can have at night. And thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in our lives to keep us, Lord, under the fold with discernment and wisdom to guide us in the right path, to open up our eyes to see the signs of the times. Father, we know that the rule is deception in this world for now. Father, this discernment and wisdom will help us cut through that discernment, that deception that's being put out by Satan. And Father, to guide us along, we pray, Lord, for Jean Fox and Father, her situation. We pray for her, Father, that her sister who is fallen ill, and Lord, we pray for her recovery. And to give the family, Father, those breaks they need to help her sister. We pray for the others, Lord, we've lifted up to you for protection, for comfort in the death of loved ones, comfort in their struggle to, Father, to be protected against those that want to distract them from the truth. Father, keep us all protected and our families. Father, we pray for protection. We pray for awakening in this country about the true gospel that, Father, needs to be preached in these days and times coming up, to give us those divine appointments, opportunities to witness for the love of Jesus Christ. Father, these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. To our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to do the best I can tonight to try to explain this, try to understand it myself, actually. And I see this is, I can tell you right now, it's going to need further study. Because I was doing some studies on some studies, and none of the studies really come to the same conclusion. But my study of the studies about what happened to Enoch. That he did not see death, that his body was translated, and so was Elijah. Keep in mind his Old Testament before Jesus. Keep in mind, there's three heavens. First heaven, earth, the physical realm of earth. Within the atmosphere of earth, where if we as humans go outside, you're going to die, and you're going to cook like a goose. Outside the Van Allen belt. You cannot go outside the Van Allen belt. And the electromagnetic energy that goes through will go through anything physical we got today. Family, there's nobody went to no moon. They would say in the Iron Mountain Report to develop a space research program aimed at unreachable targets. There's reports that it's hard to find, but there's reports of Soviets that really thought they could go out there and went past the Van Allen belt, and it killed the cosmonauts. They don't really tell you about what happened to those animals they send up there, except the ones that's within the Van Allen belt that circled the Earth. When you go outside that Van Allen belt, that magnetic sphere, whatever it is that God put there, protects this planet from being bombarded by those radiation waves. It's like a microwave out there. So the Van Allen belt, magnetic, deflects that radiation. It'd be like throwing a pet rabbit in a microwave oven. Not to be too graphic. God forbid if you ever did. On the movies, she boiled, Sharon Stone boiled a rabbit on a stove. But family, it's ugly out there. Now, past the physical realm, our physical interaction of this earth outside of the Van Allen belt is what's called the second heaven. Planets, constellations, meteorites, whatever, space, the final frontier. It's not the final frontier. They lie on Star Trek. Heaven's the final frontier, and that's the third heaven. So only thing that can live on those planets, literally, they can reside on those planets, and they are the supernatural beings called fallen angels. God had to have a place for them. Those before the flood, he chained in utter darkness. Other fallen angels are put in the abyss. Only way they can get out of it is by channeling or by ritual taught to the Masons beginning at Nimrod. The ritual, the Kabbalah, Tree of Life, I'm not going to go into that. That's you know the Kabbalah? It's got all the little circle things all over it. It's like hitting a pinball machine. They got to hit all those little things to get a body. It's complicated, very complicated. I don't even see it's worth going over. But just to basically know what it is. They don't have enough life force energy. They have to channel. They have to do the best they can. If they get enough life force energy, like during a war or something like that, where enough death, destruction, and they acquire a body. It's what all the wars have been about throughout mankind. I'm trying to lay the groundwork as simply as I can. Actually, I talked about that today a little bit. In our physical realm, our body molecules vibrate a certain level. Everything you touch, drink, smoke, or whatever, eat, vibrates a certain variance of particle vibration that you can interact with it, eat it, move it, touch it. But anything past a certain point of vibrational velocity will go to another realm of existence that you can't see, touch, feel, smell, or whatever. The second heaven is such a place. They can operate, but they can't interact with you unless you are told how to connect the two worlds of two dimensions of second and first heaven. Second heaven is divided from the third heaven where God resides by water. Water of a frequency that they can't go through. Not allowed. Case in point, Daniel was praying for help. He was praying for a message, and the angel was sent immediately. When the angel finally arrived, the angel told Daniel that it took him 2 weeks to get through the second heaven. 2 weeks to get to him, because there's a battle with the demonic realm. I don't understand how that works, to tell you the truth, but that's what it says in the scriptures. He had to call Michael the archangel to fight through this realm of the second heaven. When Jesus Christ returns from a third heaven to reside in Jerusalem at the end of Armageddon, he'll have to go through the second heaven. So now you know, you can see why, understand why, in the sixth seal, why all the fallen angels will be cast down to earth. In other words, the second heaven will be like rooted of demons and fallen angels completely out of there. So when Jesus Christ returns with his saints, what an amazing sight that'll be. They're going to go right through the second heaven like a hot knife through butter. So there won't be any fallen angels there in the seven principalities to get in the way. There'll be all judgment coming through to the earth. In the second half of the tribulation. All this is supernatural. All based on faith of the King James Bible, I couldn't be talking about it. I was watching a YouTube thing. I get a kick out of some of them. There's a spontaneous event where some people have props set up. And it's where you scare the dickens out of somebody. And so this guy's sitting there, and they have this little drummer boy kind of thing set up he didn't know about, and had his pepper shaker within it, where somehow they jerry-rigged it to where they could move the arm of that little wooden thing, whatever it is. So this guy has eaten cereal, and somebody's got control of that wooden thing at a distance, makes it push the salt shaker. The guy looks at it like, where did that come from? He started to look away and saw the arm pull back. That guy was gone out of that chair in a shot, man. Scared him to death that that little wooden thing was moving on its own. It's quite funny. What's the point? Family, it don't take much to scare a human with a little bit of supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors. If they can scare him with some little prop, can you imagine if a demon or a Nephilim or something supernatural happened in front of a person that's not familiar with it? Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Oh, hello. Who sees the supernatural? Witches? Freemasons at the highest level? Luciferians? So we, the believers in Jesus Christ, believe in the Holy Spirit and healing, will have miracles happen. The miracles for now can be somewhat explained because it's all based on faith. What happened when what did he say to Thomas? When Thomas was really stubborn, Thomas was stubborn and said, I won't believe he's here until you show me his holes in his hand and his feet and the slit in his side. I can put my finger in it, not see it. I want to know what it is. Well, be careful what you wish for. He got it. He fell to his knees and said, my Lord, my what? God. My Lord, my God. He's talking to Jesus. He called Jesus his God. Hello. And Jesus said to him, this is the key part. Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So that's why I don't believe that Jesus comes to people and sit with them in their bedroom and talk to them in their car, like some people say. I saw Jesus, he comes sit beside me in my car. It's what they say. High level people. Because right now it's based on faith. He performs miracles, of course. But the time's going to come when you are not going to have any explanation for the events that's going to happen. Jesus is going to have to say, oh my gosh. Enoch was taken. And what does that mean? He did not see death. Well, Jude chapter 1, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. He gave prophecy of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. See, the Lord gave Enoch that insight to see the coming of the Lord after Armageddon. Did he not say or talk to Isaiah and Daniel and John about the revelation? So it's not that Enoch had a book that two generations later he passed on to Noah. Noah put in plastic wrap and saved it through the flood. No, it wasn't that at all. He gave prophecy. Well, the same prophecy, God's not going to change. God gave to the prophets after the flood. So the book of Enoch was never written by Enoch. It's written actually, I did trace a name down. I can't confirm it. But by a fallen angel with the middle name of Enoch. I can't confirm this, but I did find the name in several locations. That's non-biblical. And I do say that the book of Enoch is written in the first century. So these people that promote, well, the book of Enoch is written by Enoch, how come they can't do a little mathematics here? That even the reports are that the book was first century, 100 years after Jesus Christ. And yet they still was Enoch. Enoch was three generations before the flood. We think everything's destroyed in the flood. People aren't doing their homework. Enoch was given prophecy even back in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was translated. He should not see death and was not found. Because God had translated him. For before his translation had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I'm not seeing too many Bible studies on this translation right down to its nitty-gritty. Some people say that, you know, like Star Trek, that God transported him to a place of safety, that he wasn't going to die, that people were going to kill him. Well, nowhere it doesn't say it in the Bible. So they're assuming that someone was going to kill him, so somebody's going to kill him, so they put that in there. Because what it says is that he should not see death. Well, they're assuming that some folks there is going to kill him because he walked with God. But that's speculation. It's not in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It's exciting, isn't it? To learn what... You know, when I first started learning about translation... And then there's stories in the Bible of God moving a person from one place to another supernaturally. I said, wait a minute. Hold on a second. What is it that the Freemasons on TV and movies and so forth try to do? What does Satan try to do? He tries to copy, tries to fool you with secular explanations. And I know for a fact that Star Trek Roddenberry was a Freemason. I know for a fact that all the members of Star Trek had to be Freemason or into witchcraft before they got a job on the set. You understand this? Same thing for Star Wars. If you are not a witch or warlock or Freemason, you're not going to get a part in the movie, in the TV series. Everything in the Star Trek, going back to James T. Kirk and all that, is all based on Masonic theology. That's what this is for. That's the purpose of Star Trek. And all the designs of devices they used in space travel is all based on real principle. Tricorder. Frequency, isn't it? Whatever it is, right? It makes that noise. Well, it's based on tumors, some kind of physical malady, broken vessel, whatever it is. It puts out that frequency to make it go away. It matches the frequency. It would work. We're based on frequency vibration, right? So this thing with the tricorder would have, they've apparently got one. See, the Freemasons are told that a lot of the devices on Star Trek are future being held back until the population can be thinned out. And they'll be the ones to use it. That's a lie, but that's what they're told. Live free and prosper. The finger up, that's the power of five. The figure, I can't do that. I got bad fingers. No, not that bad. Anyway, hold your hand up like Spock does. Family, that's Masonic. That's Masonic. That's the occult hand sign. A lot of the storylines in Star Trek are based on the New Age theology and ideology. That rather ology. That's what it's for. You've got old Lizard Man on there. The prime directive. Not to fool around with the inhabitants of the planet. The prime directive of the fallen angels was, or watchers, was not to mess around with man, but lead them. Show them how to live in this earth. But because they had physical bodies, they got lustful with the daughters of man. So now they're trying to translate it into, they were space aliens. Nonsense. So they use Star Trek and all these other science fiction to cover over and give explanation for the supernatural. It works. It is possible that sometime during the life of Enoch that he was received a promise that from God he would go to heaven without dying. After that time, everyone had died sooner or later. There was no record of anyone ever having been taken away without dying, except later Elijah. But God promised, and Enoch believed. Even Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. Remember Isaac? He knew that Isaac was supposed to bring a great nation. So if God said, sacrifice your son, he figured, well, I guess I could do it because God will probably raise him up. so I could sacrifice him. Of course, you know, God provided the ram and the bush. And Isaac was like, how obedient is that? Both of them were greatly obedient. God knew that too. Abraham to sacrifice his only begotten son. Well, second begotten son, excuse me. Hey, Ishmael was the first one. And Isaac to say, okay, we're up here, sacrifice. Where's the ram at there, Daddy? I don't see no ram or lamb here. I just see me. He said, well, it's you. And he did some time up. Now that's obedient, obedient. You ever think about that? God promised Enoch believed. It was the most sane, rational thing that Enoch could do at the time, and what's more reasonable than the creature should believe his creator. So what happened? Enoch walked with the invisible God for 300 years. You find that in Genesis 5, 21 to 24. And he walked into eternity, which is what I believe. Savior wasn't there. Not yet. Sacrifice of animals was the way to salvation. No. Sacrifice of animals was anticipation of eternal salvation yet to come through a Messiah yet to happen. So those died, like Abraham and Moses, etc., went to Abraham's bosom that it could be seen by those in hell at the same time. There goes soul sleep right out the window. Calling out to Lazarus, the different Lazarus, of course, was one saying, give me water. Of course, it couldn't do it. So that means one in hell could see those in Abraham's bosom. Not yet in heaven, but the same place as hell, but a gulf between the two. That was hell in itself for those in hell to be able to see those not. And they could have no intervention at all. Abraham's bosom had not yet been lifted to heaven because his Messiah had not come yet. That's where Jesus went when he died for 3 days and he went down there to preach and he defeated the grave. Spoke to those in Abraham's bosom, lifted out Abraham's bosom into heaven. And then showed up to Mary, and you know the rest of the story. Well, in the meantime, there's Enoch. Where was he? Before he was taken, he had the testimony. He pleased God. Directly to God, because there was no intervention, no Savior yet. So the life of faith always pleases God. He loves to be trusted. Because without faith, it's impossible to trust him. No amount of good works can compensate this lack of faith. That's why the Freemasons do a lot of good works. Think that'll override the lack of faith that they have. You have no faith when you say the blood oaths they take. When a man refuses to believe God, he is calling him a liar. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. 1 John 5, verse 10. How can God be pleased by people who call him a liar? Can't. Faith is the only thing that gives God his proper place and puts man in his place too. And it glorifies God exceedingly. Theologian C.H. McIntosh said, and I quote, because it proves that we've have more confidence in his eyesight than in our own. Faith not only believes that God exists, but it also trusts him to reward those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. Nothing about God makes it impossible for men to believe. Difficulty lies with the human will. What about the faith of Noah? Hebrews 11, 7 talks there about, based on God's warning, he's going to destroy the world. It's coming. He knew it was coming. enough to build an ark, to start all over again. Translation. So that wasn't enough for me. I wanted to have some more about translation. So I dug a little deeper. And certainly going with the King James Bible, I started a little bit of a journey down to find out about what it means to be translated. So as the prophecy of Enoch gives a prophecy of Armageddon, it didn't take a book to give that prophecy. It was passed down from Enoch to Methuselah to Lamech to Noah, and then what? A book? No. Four generations survived the flood. Even after the Gnostic says the book was Enoch was written in the first century. Four generations? This book survives the flood? No. Thousands of years before the flood. 1,550 years from Adam and Eve to Noah. 1,550 years of mass mayhem. Giants, evil continually. No book but a prophecy was passed down to the generations. I already talked about 11:5. It says it's translated, so he would not see death. So the book wasn't translated from what to whatever it was. It wouldn't see death, not the book. Translated means his flesh was transformed to become immortal. What about translating the book? He was taken from four generations before Noah. They normally lived to be 800, 900 years old, right? Enoch was taken at a very young age of only 365. Taken to heaven? What about Abraham's bosom? Did Abraham's bosom form up after the flood? Oh, there's a question I don't have the answer to. When did Abraham's bosom form up? There's a major question I do not know or even have a speculation about. Then lies something I need to look at. It's the when God formed up Abraham's bosom. If it wasn't Abraham's bosom till after the flood, then Enoch would have been taken straight to heaven because he is righteous. He'd been mighty lonely in Abraham's bosom. Abraham wasn't born yet. So that means it was formed up round about. Now speculation. When Abraham was given the covenant, would that not be Abraham's bosom? When the covenant with Abraham was established, he was the first Hebrew Jew. That might have established the Abraham's bosom, where all those that were righteous to God would be held until Jesus Christ, or the Messiah, the promised Messiah, would show. So what about before Abraham was given the covenant? Those righteous would be taken to heaven. Elijah and Enoch. Interesting. I just now thought of that. So, he's taken to heaven without dying. He received a promise from God that he would be taken from the earth without seeing death. No one will ascend but God, but Jesus, right? But what's an ascension? An ascension is that person, Jesus, is the only one. He ascended on his own power, but Enoch was taken. Big, big difference. No man ever will ascend except Jesus, right? Well, ascension, that's why they call these fallen angels ascended masters. That they're by themselves are powerful enough to ascend. So being taken by God because he's righteous is a whole lot different than ascending. Ascending means I send myself to heaven. That ain't going to happen. So, a little deeper study. In the prolonged life of the ancients, translation of Elijah and of Enoch and their own bodies, the preservation of Jonah, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now we expand it out of this translation of the body. In the midst of extreme peril, are clear demonstrations that God can raise up our bodies to life eternal. So it doesn't just stop at Enoch. What about Peter? Peter had faith. He walked on the water. Until he got lost faith. He got scared. He started sinking. Body translated. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four. As one is the Son of God. How do you know that? Because God wrote it on his heart to tell him so. You put three in there. And the furnace was hotter than 7 times 7, man. It was a whole lot hotter than a firecracker. And so, they didn't burn. Flesh burns. They didn't burn. Flesh burns. He translated their bodies. Jonah and the whale. Come on now. A man and a fish, and the fish is swimming. It drowned. Or isn't a big fish, and like that fish must have had his mouth closed the whole time. Doesn't matter. His body would have been translated supernaturally to be able to live in the belly of a fish. So, looking at it objectively, bodies did continue to existence for a lengthened period of time as long as it was God's good pleasure that they would flourish. When heretics read the scriptures, and they'll find out that the predecessor had advanced beyond 700, 800, even 900 years of age, their bodies kept pace with the length of their days and participated in life as long as God willed that they should live. Sin corrupts our bodies. Where we are today. Why do we refer to these men today? For Enoch, when he pleased God, was translated in the same body in which he did please him, pointing out the anticipation, translation of Elijah, caught up when he was yet in the substance of the natural form. The assumption of those who are spiritual. Nothing stood in their way of their body being translated and caught up. For by means of the very same hands to which they were molded at the very beginning, they received the translation and assumption. Was not Adam and Eve eternal? Yes. Until they what? Sinned. And then their bodies began to die. Didn't die instantly. What took their place of death on the short term were animals. God explained to them that life is in the blood. In anticipation of a coming Messiah, you will sacrifice this lamb, this sheep, whatever. Enoch and Cain were told the same thing. Adam and Eve passed it down. I talked about Cain last night. He went his own way, his own gospel. Abel did the right thing, is killing sheep, lamb, whatever. This animal had to die for our sins in anticipation of the coming Lamb of God, which would be Jesus. In the meantime, it was animal sacrifice. Jesus Christ took the place of animal sacrifices. Holy Spirit's within you. We deny ourselves and take up the cross. That's what that means. So when the Jews go back to sacrificing animals when the Antichrist comes, now you see, it's denial of Jesus as the intercessor. And that sure bring on the first trumpet. But back to Enoch. Enoch was a righteous man. Adam and Eve were eternal until they sinned. And that's when blood entered their body, supernaturally. They went from mortal, immortal, to mortal. God changed them for a lack of faith and lack of being obedient. The cistern, the golden bowl, the heart began to beat. They had blood put in their system. Not flesh and bone, but flesh and blood. Didn't need blood when they're eternal. What does blood do in the first place? Nourishes the cells. Why does it nourish the cells? Because they're dying. So God had to have a way to keep them alive. On the long term. To populate the world. But in the meantime, they would die. That's the sacrifice. First blood sacrifice was Adam and Eve. In the meantime, it was animals. As a Passover kind of thing. See what I mean? It all works out. For in Adam, the hands of God had become accustomed to set in order to rule and sustain his own workmanship and to bring it in place before they were they pleased. Paradise. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he placed the man whom he had formed. And afterwards, man proved disobedient. He was cast out in the world. And also, the elders, who were disciples, of the apostles, tells that those who were translated were transferred to that place, paradise, for being prepared for righteous men, such as have the Spirit, in which they place also Paul the Apostle. When he is caught up, heard words which were unspeakable in regards to us as present condition. There shall be all those who translated remain until the consummation as a prelude to immortality. Freemasons are told they'll be immortal if they last through. Oh, they will. But if they don't renounce that blood oath, they're going to hell. We all are immortal. When you die, you immortally go to heaven or hell, awaiting the judgment. If, however, can anybody imagine if impossible that men should survive for such a length of time, that Elias was not caught up in the flesh, that his flesh was consumed in the fiery chariot? Have I considered Jonah being cast in the deep and swallowed down in the whale's belly? Because he disobeyed God. By the command of God, again, thrown out safe upon the land. Jonah was regurgitated up, I guess. Can you imagine getting regurgitated by a whale? Patoo. Out you go. Pew. Ananias, Zacharias, Mizrael were cast in the furnace of fire sevenfold heated. That's their other names. They had no harm. Neither was the smell of fire seed befallen them. Therefore the hand of God was present with them, working out marvelous things in their case. Son of God was with them. Now this is the Son of God. Scripture represents Nebuchadnezzar, the king, is saying, did not we cast three men bound in the furnace? And lo, I see four walking in the midst of the fire, and the fourth is like the Son of God. That was before Jesus even came around. You know the nature of any created thing? Not that, nor the weakness of the flesh can prevail against the will of Almighty God. It'd do good for these secret societies to understand that. For God's not subject to created things, but created things to God, and all things are obedience to His will by His own words makes things happen. What did the Lord declare? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So, it might seem to men of the present day who are ignorant of God's appointments and agenda, His will, to be a thing incredible and impossible that any man could live for a number of years, yet those who were before us did live to such an age of 900. And those who were translated to live as an earnest of the future length of those days can happen again. To live in the belly of a whale, from a hot furnace, coming out unhurt, no smell of clothing, even the clothing. And then led forth by the hand of God for the purpose of declaring His power and His glory, not our own. They could brag, couldn't they? Who'd believe Jonah? Couldn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go on Sid Roth, that's supernatural? Write a book? But not knowing the promise and power of God, people oppose their own salvation and deem it impossible for God, who raises up the dead, to have some kind of power to confer upon them eternal duration. The skepticism of men, the doubting Thomases of the stamp, shall not render the faithfulness of God's known effect. I did a little deeper study on this, and I found something that I found very interesting in the definition of translation. Mortal to immortal. God controls. Now, there's quite a bit to this, and I'm going to have to kind of, I see we're coming to the close, but this certainly requires more study. And now you see why. To try to explain it to people. Why should we in the first place? Why is it important for this study? Now, you just say, well, if I'm born again, I'm not worried about it. That's God's business. He can translate me if He wants to. If I do right, it's up to God. I can study it and find out why. Well, right here before me, let's see if I have it. In the Collegiate Dictionary of Translation, there, I found in a rapture, to subject is mathematical translation, to subject as genetic information, to translation in protein synthesis. Oh. A little DNA going on here. The connection I saw with genetic information. Mathematical translation. Translation in protein synthesis. So it's connected to the physical. Then I saw The process of forming a protein molecule at a ribosomal state of protein synthesis from information contained in messenger RNA. Well, God changed his RNA. God can change his RNA anytime he wants to change it. There's your translation, even the Collegiate Dictionary. That's in reference to a physical change of protein synthesis that God can do anytime he wants to. That's the part they leave out. And also a word that's used in this is being quickened. You ever, the Highlander, that silly movie, the Highlander, they can only be one. And they all fight with swords and all that. Family, what goes on there? What's the lesson that this stupid movie, but by the way, the physics of it. They kill the other guy, and his life force comes out into the one who kills him. He gathers his life force energy to be strong. Family, that's what happens. So these movies have some truth to them. They put in physical, in some fictional form, so you won't think a thing about it. So when people talk about it, oh, you saw that in the movie. There's a commercial about cars. There's a car that somehow transforms itself into the commercial car that they're trying to get to. But here's the point. There's little parts of mists, places of energy that this car goes through. As it goes through, it gets a better car. I forgot what the commercial is. It's on a YouTube thing or whatever. Family, that's what they're talking about here. They put all this stuff in front of your face in ways that the average public can never understand and what they're really looking at. When the spirit leaves the body begins to die. Yep, turns to dust. Hardens, gets cold. Because the energy of your soul keeps it warm. Keeps it alive. But only God can bring that soul back into the body, which Jesus did. Lazarus, the young girl. So they died twice. Died once to show the glory of God. He brought them back. And without CPR. And they lived a long life and then died a second time. Enoch never died. Taken up. Body translated into another form. Able to go through the second heaven into the third heaven. Before the flood. Abraham's bosom was a holding place. Established, looks like, around the time that Abraham was given the covenant. And those who went there were anticipation of the coming Messiah. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it is finished. He won on the cross, it's finished. He went to Abraham's bosom, preached to them, and Abraham's bosom was closed for service. Closed down, Abraham's bosom moved to heaven. The Messiah laid the way. They were all obedient, waiting. So now you don't go to Abraham's bosom. It's not there. When you die, you're born again, you go to heaven, waiting for that judgment of the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not, no, you're going to hell to be tormented. There's no soul sleep. I'm a murderer, rapist, killer, Pol Pot, whoever. And I'm going to just go to sleep when I die? No. So you're a murderer and a rapist and whatever? Evil? I ain't got to worry about it. When I die, I just go to sleep. Wake up for eternal punishment. Okay. Then I'm annihilated. I just burn up and go away. Family, that's reward, not punishment. They got a surprise coming. Anton LaVey saw it. He was screaming on his way out when he died. They all think it's glorious to die in the supernatural. the cult, witchcraft. And Tom LaVey got a different look at it. Flesh and blood shall not possess the kingdom of God. I got plenty more here that I could talk on another hour, literally. But I'm going to study a little further myself. This is a good start because it kind of quantified things in my head. Quite a bit here on translation. Because in the rapture, it is translation. Aha. For those that are protected at the abomination of desolation, run for the hills, he says. He'll protect you supernaturally. They will come back mortal after Armageddon to start the human race all over again. Under the direction of Jesus. Satan released for a short time after the 1,000 years. And apparently there's those that's going to go against him. But the nations, because they'll have an opportunity to have made a choice. For the 1,000 years, millennium reign, remember, God gives them a choice. They will not have a choice. There'll be sin, willful, but Satan will not have tempted them. That's why God's releasing Satan at the end of the 1,000 years. He gathers the nations to battle against the Lamb. It's called Gog and Magog. That's the last battle ever. The new heaven, new earth, and eternity. The great white throne at the end of Gog and Magog, that's the great white throne. All will stand before the Savior, the Messiah, the King, Jesus. And those in the book of life, eternal life in heaven. Those not in the book of life, into hell for eternity, forever. It's all written. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight, Father, that you led us tonight. Father, open up our eyes, our minds, our hearts, and Father, lead us in the next studies, and Father, to help others to understand, Father, that we share in this gospel, that Father, we learn every day. Father, we pray the coverage in the Holy Spirit, and the days are coming. Father, we have the faith. Father, protect us with the Holy Spirit, that we can help others and guide them. That you give us the words to speak in the time that we need it. And Father, to strengthen ourselves too. Convict us if we fall away. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that makes us stronger. We pray for family members. We pray for those deceived to be awakened. Father, we pray that your holy word will be spread about. Father, we thank you for the opportunities you've given us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, thank you all for coming. I can see the study is going to require more study. But it laid the groundwork. And there's quite a few cases and instances in the Bible that talks about God changing the body structure in various different ways. But all this going on today, you see, I personally don't get worked up about it. Because I know when God sets his foot down, all this stuff that's going on in the news is just going to go by the wayside. Just like that. And there'll be a whole different focus of all these patriotic, flag-waving, on both sides, Constitution, this, that, and the other. Bill of Rights, whatever, I don't know what. FEMA camps here, FEMA camps there. you know, ascended masters, man, they're going to go into hiding, man. They have no chance. But you got plenty of chance through Jesus. The preachers today will be ashamed. There'll be those you don't know that's going to come out and lead. Some of them don't even know who they are yet. They will when the time comes. It certainly won't be the preachers they got today. And darn sure won't be the ones on TV. And those mansions they have, those monuments put up, they won't be there after the sixth seal. It will be so low, they can't even hide behind them. Judgment is coming to this earth. And it won't be sporadic and localized. It will be worldwide, finalized. Just make sure you're on the right side by taking Jesus as your Savior. Don't play around. Don't mess around. Because He's coming back. And He won't be your intercessor anymore. He'll be judge. Whole different ballgame. A different Jesus. As a judge, right now He's intercessor to God because He's the only sinless one ever was. So God will hear His prayer for you. How He does that supernaturally, I don't know. I just know He does it. He hears all our prayers. How does He do that? I don't know. He just does it. Y'all have a good night, and God bless you all. And be safe. And look to the Savior in everything that happens, even in the bad times. Because He's got the answers. Have a good night. God bless, and enjoy the week. True spirit of Christmas is Jesus. Nothing else. Good night, God bless. I'm signing off. Oh, by the way, I do want to remind you about John Kirkler before I go. And highpointradio.net. It's his radio station. It plays my broadcast and Bible studies. Website, watchmanforjesus.com. Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. So, again, good night, God bless. This is your Watchman. Signing off. Just melted in the peace. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I've forgiven. Heaven's gate.
I am with you every day to the end.